Y'all hear me now? Y'all can't hear me. This is Verizon. We're going to switch to AT&T. How about now? No? Oh, yeah. Is that it? No? That it? Oh, yeah. Amen. Matthew chapter 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you can see this morning, we are going to worship God in what we call the Lord's Supper. And I've been praying all week, and I pray that this will be a time for you of adoration, devotion, dedication, just a really, really special time of worship. I'm hoping that this will be a day that you remember, because that is what is supposed to happen when we join together in the Lord's Supper. It is what our Lord commanded us to do, to remember, to reminisce. And that's because memories are so precious. Memories bring back those special emotions in your life. It's like those emotions you have when you sit down and look at those pictures from years and years and years ago. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, you get out your photos and you go through them, and you look back when you were like a teenager, and it just floods your memory. I like to do that because back many years ago, I can look at those photos, and I had long hair. I did. When I got married, I weighed 115 pounds, 100 of it was hair. And it was great. When I first met Cindy, now, if you don't know me and know Cindy, we have been together almost all of our life. We met when we were really small. I was really small. She was really small. She was 11, right? She started chasing me at the age of 11. And we've been together really ever since. When we met, she called me a preppy. I was a guy that had short hair, starch collars. I played baseball. You couldn't have long hair. And I was her little preppy. What we did in my day was we went together. We didn't go anywhere, but we went together. You know what that means? And so, for whatever reason, and I've told some of you this before, for whatever reason, she broke up with me. I know. I was shocked, too. I know. And so when I came back, we were split up for about 6 months, I guess, something like that. When I came back with long hair. I was a rebel. And so it's just, I look back on those photos, and I see me in long hair, see me with hair. That was great. And you know, those memories, they just come flooding back. And I've talked to some folks, have maybe some folks that have lost everything in life, maybe because of a fire or something. Do you know what they always wish they could have back? Those pictures. You know, because it just brings back all these memories, these precious memories that bring back emotions that just linger for a lifetime. Memories take you back to places in your life where something was altered. Takes you back to a time in life where your life was transformed. So today, I pray that we remember this day, we remember what we're doing, that we'll make a memory. It's the Lord's Supper. And in just a few moments, you will eat some bread and drink some juice. But I don't want you going away from here just thinking, I ate some bread and I drank. It can be more than that. We don't want this to be an ordinary, typical Sunday. The truth is, I don't want any Sunday to be normal, typical, average, or ordinary. I've done ordinary. As a matter of fact, I can do ordinary anytime you want ordinary. I can fashion and form ordinary, but I desire extraordinary because that's what God does. He does the extraordinary. And so again, I've been praying all week long for this time that we get to spend together this morning, that it'll be far more than different, that God will be involved in it, and it'll be divine, that it'll just be one special morning. Now, of course, I don't believe in any sense at all that I can recreate the emotion of the Lord's Supper, the first Lord's Supper. It was just packed with emotion. But I do hope that today is something special. Because you are an emotional being. You know, we all are. We laugh and we cry. We're happy, we're sad. We have pleasure, we have displeasure. Emotion a part of who we are. And boy, wouldn't it be terrible? Wouldn't it be awful if you didn't have any emotion? Wouldn't church just be a difficult place to come to if everything was just void of emotion, if everything was so silent that you could just hear a pin drop? Emotion is a part of who we are, and it would be sad if we couldn't laugh and if we couldn't cry. Life without emotion, I don't think that would be life at all. At least it wouldn't be good life. We need these emotions. We are emotional beings. And any time we experience Him, it's an emotional time. And so the Lord's Supper, it's an emotional event. And so today I hope you feel this rather than just do this. And our goal today will be to see if we can just get a little glimpse of Jesus Christ. That night He celebrated the Passover with His disciples. And again, that night was just a very emotion-filled night. And Jesus would take that night and take every opportunity of that night, every opportunity of His last Passover meal to teach you and I something about the way we do life and about the way we do this thing called the Lord's Supper. And I would dare say that anyone who's been involved in church for any length of time whatsoever, you are aware of the importance of the Lord's Supper. You are aware of the importance of those two commands that Jesus gave us, baptism and communion. Jesus was our example for both of these, and they are high priorities for the Christian. And so we talked about baptism last week and how important it is. You see, sometimes in life, we struggle to know what God wants us to do. These are two situations. These are two commands of God that you absolutely don't have to struggle with. He said, be baptized. And He said, remember me in my death at the Lord's Supper. And so, you know, I talked to you at length last week about baptism. And I want to say something once again about baptism because it's so important. If you haven't been baptized, pray that you'll come and talk to me or come and talk to somebody. Because it's an important step in the Christian life. It's a wonderful thing. If you were christened as a baby, that's not baptism. It is a wonderful experience, but it was about your parents dedicating you to God. And of course, that wasn't about your decision. That was about your parents' decision. Being baptized is declaring publicly your decision to follow Christ. It's identifying with Christ and His death, and His burial, and His resurrection. It is. It is. And I love this. It is us dying to an old way of life, that sinful life, and being born again. It represents that. It represents a symbol that we have died, and we have been buried, and we have been raised again to a new life. It's a wonderful thing. It symbolizes that we've been washed in the blood of Christ, that our sins have been forgiven. Being baptized is being obedient to what God has told us to do. So if you've never been baptized, I encourage you to do that. Now, some people say, well, can you be saved and not be baptized? And the correct answer to that is yes. But a better question is, can you be fully obedient to Christ and not be baptized? And the answer to that, of course, is no. So what should you do? If you've never been baptized, be baptized. Now today we're here to talk about and to do something that happened one evening, one very dramatic evening, over 2,000 years ago in an upper room in the city of Jerusalem. Jesus had sent Peter and John ahead to make some arrangements for this room where Jesus would spend, once again, a very emotional evening with his disciples shortly before Jesus was arrested, tried, found innocent, and sentenced to death. The sentence carried out by nailing him to an old cross. It was absolutely incredible what happened. And so now today, we get to experience something. We get to do something that Jesus did. So the Lord's Supper should be something very, very special to us. And we're just going to take a moment this morning to kind of get a sense of what Jesus was going through and what he was experiencing in the upper room that night. Because in the upper room that night, it was about a new covenant. It was about the New Testament. It was about this new thing. It was about the old coming to an end and a new beginning. It was about Jesus who was getting ready to go into the Holy of Holies to die as our sacrifice. And to die as our sacrifice so that there would never have to be another sacrifice ever. Jesus went into the Holy of Holies and he died once and for all. Something very, very special was happening. Jesus, he came and he satisfied every command and every law of God. He has already lived that perfect, sinless life. Now he's going to die on a cross as our unspotted, unspoiled, and unblemished Lamb of God. And he will completely and totally fulfill every single requirement of God. You think about this, that sin that hung over your head or that hangs over your head that keeps you out of heaven. Jesus came and he stepped in and he took away all that from us and paid our debt so that you and I could have heaven, so that we could enjoy eternal life. So the picture that we have today is he's on his way to die and he wants us to remember. He wants us to remember that. He wants us to remember what he is doing for us. And so he gives us this Lord's Supper to help us remember. And it was during that last Passover meal that Jesus really introduces us to the Lord's Supper. And you really have to go back and look at the Passover to see what is happening. The Passover, just like the Lord's Supper, it was about remembering. And it was about a new beginning. It was about the future. It was about the Israelites entering into the land of Canaan. So here's Jesus, and he gathered his disciples in the upper room for this Passover meal. And it was a meal of symbols and reminders of what God had done for his people. And I just want to real briefly explain to you some of the elements of that meal and some of what was going on so you can get a get a sense of what was happening that night. On the table that night would have been some salt water, maybe a small bowl of salt water. And that was to remind them of the tears that they had shed while they were suffering in Egypt. Also on the table, there would have been a potato. And very likely, they would have cut that potato into a square. That was to remind them of the bricks that they laid while they were in Egypt. And at one point in the meal, they would take that potato and they would dip it in the salt water. It was all a reminder of what they had to go through. There would have been some bitter herbs on the table. And those were reminders of the shocking situation of the slavery that they suffered through. And they would take these bitter herbs and they would dip it in this thick paste of ground up nuts and fruits and sugar. And this paste or this corrosive, it was a reminder of the mortar that they used to bind the bricks together. Everything was used as a reminder of the past and a reminder that God had set them free. Next, there would have been some kind of drumstick, possibly a chicken leg like we Baptists love, right? More than likely, for most of the folks, it would have probably been like a shank of the lamb, and it all depended upon the size of your family and the wealth of your family. But this drumstick, this chicken leg, this shank of lamb, it was a reminder of God's outstretched arm. It was a reminder that God was strong and able to save and deliver them. Then, of course, on the table would have been the matzah ball. This was that unleavened bread. The bread was symbol to them of a new life, a life that had been delivered from slavery in Egypt. And let me stop here because I don't want you to miss this. That part of life that sometimes you wish you could forget, those things that you've done that you wish you had never done, you just wish. You wish you never even had to think about them again. Those things, that life that you had before you were forgiven by God, this bread is a reminder that you have a new life. That old life is gone. It's just gone. All those things that you think about and you hate that you did, it's gone. They are gone from you. That bread represents new life. New life that you have. So they'd have this matzah bread, and then, of course, they had the wine. And they drank this wine as a reminder of the blood that was shed to cover their sins. And that was the Passover for them. And it was about eating and drinking and remembering and celebrating. It was a time of celebration, a great celebration. And every time they did this, in their homes, it would just be jam-packed with emotion. And then, some 2,000 years ago, on that special night with Jesus, something different happened. And this was the Passover night that became a marker in history. Lives would change. And lives would never be the same again. And so let's look at it. Matthew chapter 26. Here's Jesus, his disciples. They're all gathered together. They're eating the Passover meal together. They are doing each portion as they should. They're going through this experience of remembering and rejoicing. And it's just an absolutely amazing story. And in that story, Jesus does something very different than had ever been done before. Matthew chapter 26, we start reading in verse 17. Now on the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. So here's Jesus. He wants to celebrate the Passover. He's made some plans, and these plans are for his disciples and himself to have a very, very special time together. Jesus honored the Passover. The Passover was one of their customs, one of their celebrations. Just like you and I have customs and celebrations. Of course, Christmas and Easter being the two big. You know, those are the big ones for us. For the Hebrews, the Passover was a very, very big celebration because it was about that sacrificial lamb and the blood that delivered them from the judgment of God. So this is one celebration they didn't want to miss. They wanted to be a part of this great celebration. So here's Jesus. He wants to celebrate the Passover, and he sent a couple of his disciples ahead to get things ready. Verse 20, and it says, and when evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. And each of them began to say to him, Lord, is it I? He answered and said, he who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes, just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? He said to him, you have said it. Now, here they are. They're sitting there, going through the Passover meal, enjoying the Passover meal, and Jesus drops the bomb. He begins this conversation as he looks at the 12 men in front of him, and he says, one of you guys is about to betray me. One of you guys, you're turning your back on me. One of you guys has been with me for 3.5 years. You're just about to stab me in my back. And I mean, you can imagine as the tension came over the room, all the air sucked out of the room, party's over. I mean, what an unbelievable statement. And the disciples, they go, Jesus, me? Hey, you know, and it's always good to examine our heart to see, is it me? Is there something going on with me, Lord, that needs to be revealed, that you need to take care of? Each disciple, sorrowful, looks at Jesus and says, is it me? You know, because sometimes we can't even trust ourselves. Hope it's not me, but Lord, is it me? And then Judas, knowing that it was him, and Jesus said, yes. And we won't read about it here. Judas leaves. He's gone from the celebration. Now, here we are in that moment that I've been talking about all morning. This is the moment that changes everything. Matthew chapter 26, verse 26. A real moment in time. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. What? He says, take, eat, this is my body. And I'm sure everyone in the room that day, they're shocked and surprised. They've never heard anything like this. They've never done Passover like this before. And there's more. Verse 27, then he took the cup. And this This is amazing. I could just do a whole sermon right here. This is great. Y'all want, let's do two sermons this morning. Amen, preacher. Go right ahead. Okay, we didn't get any help with that. This is great. He took the cup and gave thanks. Now, think about this for one second. Here's Jesus who knows what lies ahead of him. He is about to go through some human anguish and agony beyond anything that you and I have really ever comprehended. And he gives thanks. Here's Jesus who knows the torment and the torture and the sorrow and the suffering. And he gives thanks. He can see beyond that torture and the suffering. He can see that he's going to accomplish this great, wonderful thing for you and I. He can see the ransom and the rescue. He can see those who have been forgiven and saved. He can see me in my life and what I've done. He sees you and 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 he gave thanks. He saw how we wouldn't live for him every day. He saw how at times we would just ignore him. He saw how even though we know how horrible sin is, we still got involved. He saw us for who we are. And he still gave them. And then years later, 1 Thessalonians, and you know this verse well, he told you and I, in all things give thanks. I have new meaning for that. That Jesus could go through all that torture, all that suffering. He could look at me, he could look at you, and he could give thanks. And now he says, whatever you face, preacher, whatever you face, folks, whatever you go through in life, whatever's happening in life, how bad it is, how horrible it seems to you, whatever you go through, give thanks. He didn't ask do something. He gave thanks. So whatever you're facing today, whatever is difficult for you today, whatever is hard in life today, give thanks. Give thanks. He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. Jesus probably at the head of the table, he takes the cup, he thanks God for it, and he hands it to one of the disciples, and he says, drink from it. All of you, pass it around. All of you, drink from it. Again, they've never done Passover like this before. In all the years that they've done Passover, this is new. This is unseen, unexpected, shocking, surprising, amazing, and great. They were going through the Passover meal as they normally would, remembering the past with each part of the meal. And all of a sudden, Jesus takes two parts of the meal and he gives them brand new meat. Jesus takes the bread and the wine and he thanks the Father for them because this is what he was saying to the disciples. This is what he's saying to us. This is what I am doing for you. This is what I am doing for you. This bread, it's me. It's me. And I'm giving my life for you. I'm sacrificing my life for you. And I don't know how much these guys, these now 11 guys there, I don't know how much they understood that night, but Jesus was telling them, when you eat this bread, you are putting me inside of you. I am becoming a part of you. I am living in you. Is that not an amazing thing that today Jesus lives in us? He lives in each and every one of us who know Him as Savior. This eating of the bread was symbolic to them that Jesus is in me. That I'm putting Jesus into my life. Jesus said, I'm giving myself to you. I want you to take me inside of you. I want you to eat, drink, and remember. Every time that you eat and drink, remember that I gave myself for you. I want this bread. I want this juice. I want this wine to be a reminder what I've done for you. Every time you drink this juice, remember that I shed my blood for you. Bread and juice are reminders that Jesus gave up His body so that you and I could have a new life. So here we are today, some 2,000 years later, and I have a brand new life. I have a new life. You have a new life. As a matter of fact, my new life is a forever life. Forever life because of what Jesus has done. That means I have hope and a future. I have a great hope and a secure future. I don't have to worry about my future. And so I'm here today to celebrate Him because the Lord's Supper is a great celebration. I'm here today to remember and rejoice in who Jesus is. What Jesus has done. This bread and this juice is a reminder of just how amazing our Savior is. Maybe it would be a good idea every time you sat down for a meal, every time you took a piece of bread and you put it in your mouth, it might be a good idea to remember just what Jesus has done for you. For them, it was a daily reminder. We could do this. And so, here's Jesus. He's at the Lord's Supper. He's about to put an end to the law. He's about to conquer death, hell, and the grave. And He said, never forget. Never forget. Never forget. Never forget what I'm doing for you. Look at me one second. Never forget. Never ever forget what done for you. How amazing Jesus has been to you. How wonderful Jesus is always for you. Let's worship Jesus. Let's celebrate Him this morning. But, there's a but here. Before we can, we have to prepare ourselves. We have to get ready for what we're about to do. So I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And quickly I'm going to read verses 27 through 29. Before we pass out the bread and the juice, we are given some instructions that we should heed. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. You know why? Because I can't see inside of your heart. You can't see inside of me. You look up here and you go, wow, preacher looks good today, right? But you can't see what's going on inside of me. You don't know what's going on in my heart. And I can't see, and you're smiling at me. That's great. I like it when you're smiling, you know. But you're smiling, but I really don't know what's going on in your heart. I don't have any idea what you've gone through. I don't have any idea what you've done. And so he said, let a man examine. Let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So what are we to do in this moment? We're to take a moment before we pass out these elements. We are to examine ourselves. Examine ourselves. And that's what I want to do for just one moment. I'm going to ask if you would to bow with me. As you sit, you just bow with me for a second. I'm going to ask you the question. Would you like to start over? Would you like to start over this morning? You could. That's the whole symbolic reasoning of the Lord's Supper. It's about a new beginning. And you can start over. In just a moment, we're going to pass out the elements. We desire for each of us to be close and clean. So you examine your heart. You examine your heart. You pray. You speak to God in this moment. Lord, in these moments that we have this morning, I pray that every single heart, every single life is focused on you. Help us hear your voice as you speak to us. Help us, Lord. Help us search our heart. And everything that you reveal to us, I pray that we confess it and find Lord, you're a God who has offered us eternal life, given us eternal life. Your blood is the remission of our sins. Help us, Lord, this morning as we, in just a moment, are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Help our life be clean. Help us draw close to you. For you are our God and our Savior. We are truly amazed. And we say to you this morning, Lord Jesus, oh, how we love you. Oh, how we love you, Savior. In your precious name, I pray. Amen. You can welcome line up.